from stpetecatalyst.com.
Hi there, I'm Bill DeYoung with the St. Pete Catalyst, and we're here with the Catalyst Sessions for Wednesday. So happy to introduce you to two of Tampa Bay's favorite jazz musicians, Ona Cray and Alejandro Arenas. I never asked you, is it Arenas or Arenas?
Arenas, you said it perfectly.
Oh, okay, so I said it. These guys have very kindly said they would play something for us, and then we got a lot to talk about. So take it away, guys.
Once I was away to get back homeward. Once I was away to get back home. Sleep pretty baby, do not cry. And I will sing a lullaby. Golden slumbers fill your eyes. Smile. Once I was away to get back homeward. Once I was away to get back home. Sleep pretty baby, do not cry. And I will sing a lullaby. Fill your eyes. Smiles await you when you rise. Sleep pretty baby, do not cry. And I will sing a lullaby.
Thank you so much. If you've just joined us, this is Ona Cray and Alejandro Arenas, and they're performing virtually Saturday at the Studio 620. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Ona, here's my question. I know you're a big Beatles fan, obviously. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you sing that, don't you have the urge to start singing, "Boy, You're Going to Carry That Weight" and go into the...
That's right. At the beginning, not anymore. I got used to this gorgeous arrangement by Alejandro.
That's a beautiful thing. You are from Spain, obviously. Yes. from Barcelona, as I understand. Mm-hmm. If I have my history correct, you and Pablo, your husband, have been here for 2.5 years, something like that?
Actually, 3 years and 3 months.
Okay. So I need to.
She's not counting.
Clock a little tighter. Did you come here? So, I know he got his master's in jazz piano performance. Is that why you relocated here, or was there a bigger reason in those days why you came from Spain?
Yeah, we were thinking of moving. We were having that conversation for a long time and thinking mm-hmm. of the United States. We were thinking about Canada as well. But we definitely wanted to come to this side of the ocean. And Pablo also wanted to do a master's degree in jazz. And we just combined those two things. And he got a very good scholarship at the USF. So it was like kind of both things.
Had you ever heard of Florida before? Or
yes, but I definitely was not aware of what Florida really was.
oh, this is perfect. Did you have a preconceived notion? Oh, that's all loud tourists, and you discovered how beautiful it is. Alejandro went through the same thing a little earlier, but what did you think Florida was? Disney World, Miami?
Miami, yeah, probably, yeah. Yeah, I really didn't have, I didn't know that much about what the U.S. really was. I didn't know about, I knew, but I didn't know for sure how incredibly big this country is and mm-hmm. all the difference between all the states and I didn't know what Florida really was. And honestly, we were at the very end, we were deciding between Texas and Tampa mm-hmm. and I saw, there's beach in Tampa, so obviously let's go to Tampa. That was
that's
why we decided to come.
Did you speak English already? I mean, obviously you're pretty well spoken in all those dialects.
Thank you.
Well,
that means a lot to me.
I'm sure.
I spoke a little. I was living in London.
I'm sorry?
I spoke a little English. I was living in London before coming here.
Oh, okay. There you go. Yeah. So, I mean, it wasn't that enormous a culture shock.
Okay.
You surrounded yourselves with jazz musicians because of what, I guess, what he was doing. But tell me about the culture shock. This is fascinating to me. A redneck was, right?
I definitely didn't know that. That's a very interesting conversation.
Yeah, welcome to Florida.
Thank you. I don't know, it's so different. I can never imagine how different it was. And at the same time, how, I know that what I'm going to say, it's very contradictory, but it's very different. But at the end, we are the same. We are human beings anyway, you know? So there's a lot of layers on top of how people behave, how life is here. Like, for example, the hardest thing for me to adapt, it has been not being able to walk in the streets. I went walking to everywhere. I would go to the supermarket working. I would go to work walking. I would take the underground and, you know, everything was about walking and I loved that. I miss that a lot. Here is everything about car, for example. Then the way people relate in Spain, people are very spontaneous and here people are so cautious. So that was a shock for me because I didn't understand, but it was not a language thing. It was like, I don't know what they mean. Do they want me to go? Do they want me, you know?
Yeah.
But at the end,
you think too much. And you know, there's something to be said for spontaneity and trusting one's instincts. And it also makes me think that the people in Spain, because they're walking in the villages and the cities, are probably a lot thinner than we are over here. So, I mean, to make that plunge, Alejandro, I'm not ignoring you, but you and I have talked so many times.
It's all good.
It's fascinating to me. You were ready to make this plunge, though. I mean, America, that's some different shit, man. That's different. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. But there's so much. I like from here a lot that there's a lot of people wanting to do things. I don't know if that makes sense, but I don't know if that makes sense to you that you are from here, you know, maybe as long as you...
Oh, I don't want to do anything.
But no, seriously, I feel like there's a lot of people wanted to do things, wanted to promote arts and I don't know, just a lot of entrepreneurship. Am I saying it?
Entrepreneurship, yeah.
thank you. I'm not going to try to say it.
Add that one to the list. I can barely say it myself. Yeah.
So, yeah, I love that spirit of wanted to do things, you know.
So, and also, I wanted to ask if you and Pablo, I mean, if you felt, you know, because music is the universal language, blah, 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 which we all talk about all the time. If you felt accepted right away, like, yeah, these guys are great. We're a team. And maybe this will lead to how you met, too.
Yeah, we are extremely grateful about how the jazz scene has welcomed us. We have felt very welcome from the very beginning, honestly. That has been one of the best things. And yeah, he, for example, has been a great encouragement for us and a lot of people in the music scene. So yes.
So, well, give me the story of how the two of you got hooked up musically and how did that happen?
Yeah, you know, I met Pablo first through USF. I had done my master's and I was still going back to do some work with some students. They would do these summer camps every so often, and they would pair people to teach certain ensembles. And I ended up paired with Pablo, which was awesome. You know, we hit it off right away. You know, he's originally from Venezuela, which is right next to Colombia. And we just hit it off, you know, but he spent most of his, like half his life almost in Madrid, right?
Yes.
So we just hit it off immediately. And then we started playing a few gigs together. And at some point, after a rehearsal that I had with Pablo for something, we went out for dinner or something. I think that's how
after the Dave Rudolph's.
Oh, that's album. Right. Pablo and I played on Dave Rudolph's quintet CD a couple of years ago. And then we just went out one day. I met Ona there and, you know, we also hit it off. It was just a great, great, just a hang, you know, we just sat together, talked for hours, you know, and talking about our life stories as immigrants, specifically as musicians and immigrants and coming here to adapt to a completely different culture and all of the things that come with it. And you know, for me, apart from that, you know, I started, Ona called me for a gig shortly thereafter for a program that she has called Iberia, which is all music from the Iberian Peninsula. And I remember I said, you know, it was like a smaller scale gig. And I remember I told her, I said, like, you know, this is a really cool program. I think you should really look at a couple of different places to sell this as a show, you know. And from then on, we started playing together. And we did a collaboration with Ona and La Lucha back in January.
Yes.
And which is actually where we actually played this arrangement with the whole band. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we just hit it off personally and musically, you know. So to me, you know, Ona and Pablo are some of my favorite people in the world. They really are. I mean, they're amazing people, amazing musicians, and that's the type of thing that the music community, the type of people and the type of relationships that the music community needs here. Because sometimes here, there's small pockets of people that kind of hang together, but then they don't, it's rare that you kind of cross over to certain other sections of the music community. Mm-hmm. But there is, you know, we all know each other. And so, you know, we are very close together. So, you know, one of my goals as having been here in the music community in Florida for so long is to do that, to create that sense of community, helping each other out, really opening doors for each other and collaborating in different projects. And that was one of the things with the quarantine, you know, we all found ourselves staying home for a long time, not having much to do. And we started just collaborating through a couple of things, sending each other videos of bass and vocals duets and songs that we liked. And we found a lot of material that we really enjoyed playing together. So this is kind of how this came together. We said, like, let's do a duo thing. It's challenging. It's cool, you know.
Well, you talked about the Iberia project, and obviously that you did that for a little while, and this one is called Orilla. Is that how you say it?
Orilla.
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 Okay.
Depends on what country you're from. Orisha.
Hey man. Orilla. You know.
Orilla. Yeah. Orilla.
Okay, Orilla, which means what? Beach, ocean.
Sure.
Sure. Okay.
Yes.
Tell us, for those of us who saw the Iberia performances, and I want to talk about that in a minute too. How is this different? I mean, I think of Iberia. I think of the Iberian Peninsula. I always think of beaches and stuff. But
this one's like significantly different because I don't think we have a program. This is just kind of music that we really. I mean, it's just music that we really enjoy playing. Yes. That we have a couple of originals. We have one song that we actually co-wrote. Something that I started instrumentally. I'm an awful, awful lyricist. And Ona is a wonderful lyricist, in addition to being an incredible musician, arranger, singer, because she really is. So she brought a lot of she had a few arrangements. I had a few arrangements or some things that we just kind of created. So when we talked about it, we were kind of like, should we have a subject line? Should we have something? And we're like, well, let's actually just play music that represents who we are, which are multicultural people, you know. So we have like some stuff, of course, the Beatles, because how could you not be influenced by the Beatles?
Well, yeah.
a couple of original things. We have some Brazilian stuff. Mm-hmm. We have some. What else do we have?
We have some Jackson 5.
Oh, sorry. Yes, we have some Jackson 5.
Yeah.
I never would have. What?
It's part of us as well.
It's part exactly. Yeah. It's part of who we are. So, it's funny because with these rehearsals, every time after we rehearse, we usually like stay in the parking lot for like an extra hour just talking about, you know, it may be. It is a, you know, to me, it's definitely a Latino thing. I can talk forever.
Yes, he can.
Like right now, for example. But yeah. So, but it's awesome because we talk about all random things, you know, and that somehow finds its way into the music. You know, that's a beautiful thing. I mean, that those life experiences really come out through the choices that you make as a musician. So this was very freeing for us. And I know Ona feels the same way in terms of not only just having two instruments, she's going to play some guitar. She's going to play some guitar on some stuff.
Yeah.
But it's also very freeing from, this is music that we just love to play, you know, as opposed to sometimes you got to play some crowd pleasers. Sometimes you got to do all this stuff. So, kind of this quarantine was and this project was an opportunity for us to say, like, let's challenge ourselves and let's play some music that, you know, we may not otherwise spend time playing in front of people necessarily, or not that it's that way, but yes, you always have to curate a lot of the stuff that you do. Like, people always want a show or want this, so kind of making this, like, streaming it's less pressure in the sense of, like, here's what we have to offer. You know,
in other words, nobody in the club is shouting requests at you. And
exactly. We don't have to play Brown Eyed Girl.
And don't play.
No, please.
Oh, no. I wanted to ask you about, it's the standard issue question about being a vocalist and a jazz performer in your native country and maybe the differences over here. I mean, this performance notwithstanding, which is different kind of stuff, but I mean, are they more receptive to, do you play all the standards? Are they more receptive to original tunes? How does that compare to what you find over here with regard to audiences?
So how the audiences are different in Spain than here?
Sure. That's right. Yeah.
Well, I honestly feel that I am more appreciated here that I was, at least my originals. I think that people in Spain are less, well, it depends. Spain is a big country as well, and there is a lot of difference depending on who you talk to and where do you go.
Yeah.
But in general, I guess that most of the audiences in Spain, when they say, okay, I'm going to go and listen to a jazz concert, they are expecting either something very standard, either very something more traditional or some tribute to Billie Holiday or to Ella Fitzgerald or, you know, those kind of things.
Yeah.
Or they are expecting the opposite, the very modern European new jazz things that are doing over there that mostly don't include vocals. So I found here that there's more interest for jazz, and I found that there's more people here interested in what I do. So
they're more receptive to it.
Thrilled with that. Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Well, that's good to know. You know, I'm only familiar really with you doing the performances, say at Studio 620 and the other venues that you do. Do you play clubs and that as well? I mean, in a normal circumstance, right? I mean, do you know what I mean?
I mean, before the pandemic, I did a lot of things. I used to play in the Hard Rock in the mm-hmm. casino in Tampa, obviously at the 620. I've played a couple of times at Solo Bistro. I've played in, I don't know, different places, restaurant in St. Pete. I've played in the Palladium. Yeah, before the pandemic, I did a lot of things.
Yeah, the Palladium, obviously.
Yes.
Well, Pablo's got his degree. Are you guys going to stay here for the time being? I don't know. I mean, are there plans like, hey, we still have the rest of the world we want to see, man?
Yeah. Well, that's a very good question as well that I don't know how to answer.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, for now, we would like to stay here. You know, yeah. It's not that easy. There's an immigration system, and we have to get our visas, and it's kind of complicated, but we would like to stay here for now. Yeah, let's see.
Are you American citizens, or is it like a green card deal? How's it?
That's extremely hard.
Is it?
Yes.
I thought you just did the Pledge of Allegiance, paid somebody some money. I mean,
that's all right. It's that easy. No, that's extremely hard. It takes a lot of years to get the citizenship, unless you marry with an American person. But we are married to each other, and we are not American, so we don't have that. Not a Bennett.
I married an American. Legally. Yeah. No, I was going to say, actually, the citizenship takes a long time. My parents have been here for 20 years, and they just got their citizenship literally last week.
Oh, well, congratulations to them.
Yes, that was a lifelong dream of my dad, so we're very happy. We have a pending celebration, COVID-free celebration.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody's sort of saying, well, you know, February, March, we're going to have a big party.
Sure.
bring on the third wave.
Yeah, let me ask you about La Lucha. You were on the show a few weeks ago, but I mean, where are we now? Because things are always moving in your world. What's happening next?
Oh, you know, actually, we are about to do a Halloween special, our very first La Lucha win. It's the reason I actually have a mustache right now. It's part of the costume. It just happened. I was trying to keep the mustache a secret until we aired this, but what's that?
I was going to say something about the mustache, but I decided not to.
Who wouldn't? Yeah, I mean, but yes, that's the reason I have a mustache. I have not changed my stale look. But yes, we are going to do a Halloween thing, which is basically going to be, we're going to live score 3 classic silent horror movie scenes, and you know, we're going to be in costume and all that stuff. It's going to be pre-recorded, but all the performance is going to be live, so it's mostly improvised, and Ken Peplowski, aka Count Peplowski, is going to be the host. So we're going to be working here on that in the following days, and then we are actually doing an online concert at Timucua in Orlando.
Yeah,
at Timucua Arts White House this coming Sunday. All of a sudden, like, I got busy. Like, it was like nothing for months, and all of a sudden it was like everything in one weekend. But yes, so we are Saturday, Ona and I at Studio 620, then Sunday La Lucha is going to do a live stream from Timucua in Orlando.
Let me ask you a quick question though. Growing up in Colombia, mm-hmm. Halloween, was that a thing?
It was a thing, and actually I had it's weird because I had like memories of Halloween, but the one that this is a weird story. Sorry. I got the measles when I was it the measles? Sarampión, you know that?
I don't know Sarampión. That word.
Okay. I got really sick around Halloween one day. And I remember this is like a horror scene. They had to come give me shots every day.
Oh, wow.
And it was my cousin was the doctor, and she was like this, you know, she was like 4 feet tall, but she just like stabbed me like with the needle. Like she was, you know, I don't know if she was taking something out of me. Any case, I remember hearing the kids trick-or-treating while I was getting these injections. So that's my, yeah. Because, you know, in Colombia, they sing like, tricky, tricky, Halloween, quiero dulce para mí. And this whole thing, which is, it's kind of funny. There's a lot of phonetic stuff that comes from English that we translated to Spanish. But, yeah, it is a thing. And it was, you know, it's kind of weird here because we're always kind of prepared to see a bunch of kids. But I don't know. It kind of depends on the neighborhood that you're
sure,
in.
Sure, it's changed. You know, so changed. When you do this La Lucha Ween, I'm going to get together with Mark and with John and get somebody to dress as your cousin coming in with a big hypodermic needle while
you... There you go.
Just
so bad. You want to scare him, poor thing.
When is that going to happen, just so we can mark that down?
Oh, that's going to air on our YouTube channel and on our Facebook page on October 30th, I believe at 7 p.m. October 30th, so the night before Halloween.
We'll get some plugs out for that. In the meantime, Orija, got it,
nice.
Is Saturday, 8 o'clock, the studio 620. It is being streamed. Are you going to be, I mean, there's no audience, so folks don't show up there, but you can go on the site and pay to get the stream. Are you, you'll be in the building doing the show, or will you be at home?
Yes, we're going to be in the building, right, yeah.
And that's this Saturday, is 15th.
Yep.
Well, I think we got time for one more tune if you guys are up for it.
Yeah.
Such a pleasure to speak to you, Alejandro Arenas and Ona Cray.
Thank you.
I'm not going to try to pronounce the other name, even though say it for me one time, will you?
Itxaso Satrústegui. It's okay. It's okay. All good. Ona Cray.
Ona Cray, Alejandro Arenas. Thank you. One more tune, guys, and here, let's do it, man.
All right.
Yeah,
okay. And I promise never to bring that up again, Ona.
Thank you.
Yes.
Eu sou música da gente quando é nua crua. Escolto o nariz do pobre quando ela se sua. Sou Carolina na janela desejando a rua. Com solitude eu ando acompanhada. Cada virtude minha é pecado. Varejeira como é lixo feito creme chantilly. Que mistério tem aí? É qual isso que eu aprendi? Sou o cachorro na viela cobiçando a lua. Sou o vermelho da donzela quando ela menstrua. Ou amassado na bachela feito com gazua. A solitude eu quis por companheira. Toda mentira minha verdadeira. Trepadeira da borda folha feito ponto macramê. É um mistério te se der. É uma lição pra se aprender. Pior que a muchachis viver. Varejeira, façoeira do monturo do meu coração. Sete estrelas eu quisera, sete vezes as suas sentinelas do meu violão. Música da gente quando é nua crua. Escorro do nariz do pobre quando ela se sua. Sou Carolina na janela desejando a rua. Com a solitude eu ando acompanhado. Cada virtude minha é pecado. Varejeira como é lixo feito creme chantilly. Que mistério tem aí? É qual é só o que eu aprendi? Sou o cachorro na viela, cobiçando a lua. Sou o vermelho da donzela quando ela menstrua. Ou amassado na bachela, feito com gozoa. A solitude quis por companheira. Toda mentira minha verdadeira. Trepada e da borda folha, feito ponto macramé. É um mistério te se vê. É uma lição pra se aprender. Pior que a noite a te viver. Varejeira, façoeira, no monturo do meu coração. Sete estrelas, eu quisera. Sete vezes as sentinelas do meu violão.
So nice. What was that? Is that an original song? What are we listening to?
It's not. It's a song by Ginga called Set Estrelas.
This was actually kind of one of the first songs that made us want to do this. We found this recording of Ginga. He's very well known in Brazil, but he's definitely not at the kind of like a Jobim in the United States. But he writes some beautiful, incredible Brazilian music, kind of modern, but also with like some old chores. So it's just beautiful. So it's Ginga. You write it G-U-I-N-G-A.
Ginga.
Ginga, yeah. If you check it out, it's just incredible. And there's a beautiful version that it's with Monica Salmaso, mm-hmm. which is a wonderful Brazilian singer as well. Yeah. So if you're in the prowl for some Brazilian music you may not have heard before, that's a good one to check out.
Definitely.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Bill.
Alejandro, Ona, we will see you Saturday, 8 o'clock, studio at 620, website, and what is it, the La Lucha Facebook page or the studio?
No, the studio.
The studio,
yeah.
Page.
Yeah, don't follow the La Lucha. We may post something just for, you know, to make it easier to find it, but.
You know, cheers, guys. See you soon.
Thank you, Bill. Have a good one.
From stpcatalyst.com.